Blog Talk Radio.
Seek the Lord, and you will find Him. This is Seek Christian Internet Radio Outreach, WSCIRO, Boston, Massachusetts.
I am making my way on a journey through the valleys and hills of my heart to the kingdom of freedom and true love, where from my God I will never depart. And I'll sing la 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 la, my King, my Lord, and my life. La 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 la, I'll seek you from morning to night.
Hello, everyone. Happy New Year's. This is Dr. Shirley. It is February 2nd, 2014, and we're going to go into some wonderful music, and it's music that you've all heard on the other radio stations, but the Lord put in my heart that this selection of music is going to aim at the heart of people that are sitting on the wall still are, you know, struggling to reach out to the Lord and not trusting in the relationship that they already have in Him, and maybe questioning themselves and not sure if they are really doing the will of God. This show is for people that you know, that needs some encouragement, okay, in 2014, because 2014 is going to be a good year for many people, and God is going to be releasing some gifts that are going to bring you to a new place in Him, a new place in the glory. But I want to start off by offering up communion. We usually wait to the end of the broadcast, but this is going to be a three-hour broadcast. We're combining all of our pre-broadcasts that we have done over the month's time. You're going to get a smorgasbord. But I just want to just lift up communion and just ask the Lord to bless you as we enter into 2014 under the blood of Jesus and what He did on Calvary for us 2,000 years ago. Did you know it's still going on? The life, death, and resurrection is always going on. And it's all about entering into the new thing that God has, entering into His life, okay, and saying yes to Him in communion, all right? I had a revelation, it was a really powerful revelation this morning at church when I was lifting up everybody after Mass and my prayers, and my prayers for the body of Christ. And one of the things that he showed me, you know, he showed me the cell, the human cell, and I'm studying about that right now in my studies, the human cell and how it has these little hair-like emanations coming from it called flagella. Flagella, you know, causes the cell to swim through the cellular liquid, all right, the cytosol, the extracellular fluid to another cell, all right. And it's these flagella that join together, and sometimes they exchange genetic information, sometimes they exchange other things too, and sometimes a virus can get into a cell and alter the whole thing. And so what happens is that the cells have the ability to replicate the DNA of another cell, especially if it's like that same cell, in a healthy cell division. They exchange that genetic material as they invite them into the cell membrane. Well, the Lord is saying that in communion, that's how it is. You know, His body comes, you know, He comes to us in the body and blood of Jesus through the accidents of wine and bread, okay? And what happens is that something supernatural happened on a spiritual level that as we acknowledge Jesus in communion, in Holy Communion, all right, He comes to us like a cell engulf in another cell. He engulfs us in his presence. He engulfs us in his body, in his being. That's represented in the communion, in the body, in blood of Jesus. Okay, it looks like bread and wine to our own eyes, but in reality, it is his body and blood. Okay, and the beauty of that is that he gives us his DNA, and we become more like him, all right? So that's why, you know, the Lord was showing this to me. I couldn't believe what I was saying. He said, Shirley, dear, I want you to open this up, open the show up with communion, you know, because I really want to come to my people in a very special way in 2014 through communion. So, Father, we just thank you, Jesus, for this most powerful word, this most loving word, this most holy word, yourself. You are the word. You are the word made flesh, dwelling amongst us in communion, in holy communion. And so we thank you, Lord. So we offer up, Lord, your body and your blood. And we ask right now, Lord, that you would come to your people in a very special way as they partake of this communion too. And we ask, Jesus, that they would never be the same again. We thank you, Jesus, that on the night, all right, that you were betrayed by the hand of Judas, you took the bread and you broke it and you gave it to your disciples and you said, take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body which will be broken for you. Okay? And whenever you do this, you would do this in my memory, all right? And then he took the wine of the Sabbath, and of the Passover Seder, and he said, he lifted it up and gave thanks, and he said, take this and drink, for this is the cup of my blood, which will be shed for the sins of mankind. Whenever you drink my blood and you drink unto deliverance of salvation and healing, and you drink into new life, everlasting life. When you do this in my memory. Amen. And we thank you, Lord, for your covenant that you made with man through your body and blood of Jesus, through your body and your blood. Thank you, Jesus. And our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in your people's lives, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, a new day, our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us in body, mind, soul, spirit, will, and emotion, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not unto temptation, but deliver us from evil, deliver them from evil, deliver the whole world from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and thine is the power, and thine is the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Well, enjoy the rest of the show, and I hope you will be blessed beyond anything you could ever hope or imagine. I love you. Bye-bye.
2 a.m. and she calls me cause I'm still awake. Can you help me unravel my latest mistake? I don't love him. Winter just wasn't my season. Yeah, we walk through the door so accusing their eyes like they have any right at all to criticize. If it's Chris, you're all here for the very same reason. Cause you can't jump the track, we're like cars on a cable, and life's like an hourglass glued to the table. No one can find the rewind button, girl. Cradle your head in your hands and breathe, just breathe. Oh. May he turn 21 on the base of forces just today.
awake writing a song. If I get it all down on paper, it's no longer inside of me, threatening the life it belongs to. And I feel like I'm naked in front of the crowd, 'cause these words are my diary, screaming out loud. And I know that you'll use them however you want to, but you can't jump the track. We're like cars on a cable, and life's like an hourglass glued to the table. No one can find the rewind button now. It's saying it if you understand. And breathe, just breathe. Oh, breathe, just breathe. Oh, breathe, just breathe.
I bleed when I fall down. I'm all to watching the night sky or a beautiful sunrise. Oh, there's so much they hold. And just like them old stars, I see that you've come so far to be right where you are. How old is your soul? Well, I won't give up on us, even if the sky gets rough. I'm giving you all my love, I'm still looking up. And when you're needing your space to do some navigating, patiently waiting to see what you find. 'Cause even the stars, do a lot to teach us how to use the tools and gifts we got. Yeah, we got a lot of say. And in the end, you're still my friend. At least we didn't intend for us to work. We didn't break, we didn't burn. We had to learn how to bend without the world caving in. I had to learn what I got and what I'm not.
Seek the Lord, and you will find him. This is Seek, Christian Internet Radio Outreach, WSCIRO, Boston, Massachusetts.
Well, thank you, everyone, for coming to my birthday party. Oh, gee, great. You know, I really needed another, a tie.
Oh, yeah, hey there, Jim. That's no problem. You know, I saw that, and I said to myself, hey, Jim wears shirts and stuff, so I'm thinking, shirts, a tie, it's perfect. A match made in heaven.
That's very thoughtful of you.
Wait, sweetie, here's one more gift for you.
What is it, honey?
Just open it.
Hey, it's a Bible. I've been wanting one, and it's got my name on it.
This is no ordinary Bible. It's the Personal Promise Bible. It doesn't just have your name on it. It's got your name inside it, too.
Let's see. John 3:16. For God so loved Jim. Wow, this is cool.
Check out Proverbs 18:22.
Wow. When Jim found Linda, he found a good thing. I sure did. Thanks, honey.
The Personal Promise Bible, the most thoughtful gift you could ever find. Call toll-free to get your Personal Promise Bible. 1-866-847-7731. A Bible as unique as you are. Online at personalpromisebible.com.
Well, hello, everyone. Happy New Year 2014. glad you came, and I just want to say we love you and extend a big God bless you to all members of the body of Christ that are baptized and called according to his purpose. I'm here with my husband, Dr. Jeffrey Caniff. Hi. Say, Jeff, say hi.
Hi, folks.
All right. And we have a jammed-packed show, 3 hours, okay, of pre-broadcast all lumped into one. They're all focused and centered on the prophetic. Did you know that there are threads of the faith of God that have been woven into the tapestry of mankind since the beginning of man's existence, when God himself uttered his own words into the deep cosmic darkness as his spirit hovered over the waters of the soul of mankind, over your soul, over my soul, and the soul of the universe? And he uttered, "Let there be light." And God saw that the light was good. We as baptized believers in Jesus Christ carry this light deep within the fabrics of our hearts. For greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And that scripture comes from 1 John 4:4. Okay, and so we set the tone at the beginning of this whole program. You know, you heard some familiar songs that were actually brought created in the studios of the secular radio, and you know, and they're songs that really pull at the human heart and also making an attempt to go beyond them, you know, themselves, and asking and singing out the proverbial questions of the human race. And it's all centered towards lost love, all right, and also people that need to make a decision with one another. But you know, you hear this thread of the love of the Lord crying out to humanity, but you know, when it's captured by those who you know, remain stuck in the world, the questions stay on the human plane, so to speak, and it's almost like people get caught up chasing their own tail with this and things like that. But I really feel that the Lord is using this as a way to catapult the body, because even in the body of Christ, we're coming from different perspectives. Some of us lean towards the secular music only because we can see and hear with our prophetic eyes and ears. We can better discern the call and cry of the human heart. And if we don't close our ears to that, in our hearts to that, we can be more effective in prophetic intercessory prayer for on behalf of mankind. And so that's why I played these songs. And, you know, we just want to set a precedence here of faith. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And, you know, that's why we have Faith Talks Live Prayer, because it all comes alive here, you know, in our ordinary circumstances, as we live our lives, as we live our intimate union with the Lord, you know, and participate with him not in human love, not saying rooted in human love, but going to him for the love that we need to love those he puts in our lives, and also to love him in a greater way in our life, in our life of faith, in our earthly life, you know, as heaven touches the earth, right, through our lives. How is that, Jeff? Yeah, amen. So, we're going to look at a few scriptures before we go into the prophetic word, because we're going to look at the whirlwinds of heaven and what that prophetically means, because there are some prophetic words that the Lord has given myself and other people about the whirlwinds of heaven. You've heard in previous broadcast that my son, Jean-Pierre, was given a very specific dream of whirlwinds coming from heaven and people going up and groups of people and others running into the building, but it wasn't anything evil. It was something, you know, that a message that came with it, be ready. It was an urgent message, be ready. And it was another young man who the Lord put in my path at the medicine school that I am currently a student in. Yes, Dr. Shirley is a student. My doctorate right now is in divinity, but I will be in line for an alternative medical degree because the Lord is putting into my heart to understand the human body the way he sees it, you know, and to help in a greater way, you know, to understand the human body and the spiritual connection regarding health, all right, and how he really is working, his divine health in the human body. And it's something the body of Christ needs to understand, too, about their bodies, because a lot of people are dying before their time. They're eating the wrong foods that that can kill them over time, even in fellowship gatherings. So diet and what we eat affects the way we prophesy. Many people in the prophetic arena, they don't go there in that realm. They're not disciplined in that area. And I really believe when we yield our vessels, our temples to the Lord like that, he'll give us not only prophetic dreams and visions and revelations, but they will increase based on what we put in our mouth, you know, and how disciplined we are. It's not just all about fasting, but in between those times, it's how we, care for ourselves physically. And why don't we consult the Lord about eating? Like, Lord, what do you want me to eat today? Okay? Because he will tell you, all right? He will tell you. He will not only put a fast on you, he will also tell you the best things for your food. He'll even give you dreams about, the best things for your food, the best things for your temple, the best food for your temple. He will even give you dreams about that, you know, what it is, like he's done with me so many times, and Elijah, and Elisha, and all the wonderful prophets that have gone before us. So anyway, we're going to look at, a prophetic dream or revelation that the Lord had given me on my birthday in 2013 for 2014. And he also gave me a tornado dream right at the beginning. I think it was after. It was the first week. It was after the last week of December. So I think we were going into 10 days of the new year. And then the Lord had also given someone, you know, my colleague from the school that I attend, a dream also about tornadoes and vortexes and whirlwinds. And what's really awesome is that in this broadcast, you're going to get it from, you know, you're going to get an idea of the prophetic tapestry that has been woven for 2014. And this is not the whole tapestry. It's, you know, just the corner that we occupy, the northeast of the, you know, corner of the United States. And the United States is not the only one that's part of this tapestry, okay? So this is from the New England contingent, the New England contingent. You know, many people have said that we are the frozen chosen up here, but I do remember that there was a vortex coming from the polar regions, and it seemed like when you looked at the map about a month ago, it seemed like the vortex it came to Massachusetts, but we were the warmest ones out of all the rest of the country. Everybody else was 26 minus, and I thought, you know what? We were like 18 degrees, 20, and maybe five below, and everybody else was 26 degrees below. And so I said to my husband, I said, isn't that something? How many people call us the frozen chosen, but the Lord took that which was foolish to confound the wise, made the rest of the country, even the people down in the Bible Belt in the South, made them colder than us. And the Lord saying, I'm turning the tables. The Northeast will be the place where my revival will flow, and it will flow very strongly. You're going to start hearing some things and seeing some things, and the Holy Ghost, in mark my words, it's going to be on national television as well. Not to give man the glory, but to give God the glory, right? And to God be the glory. We're also going to look at the prophetic insight for from Chuck Pierce from the Glory of Zion Ministry. And also, did I mention Doug Addison? Yes, I think I did. Well, maybe I mentioned it to my husband. But Doug Addison, we'll be looking at Doug Addison's prophetic word for 2014. He comes from, his ministry is the In Light Connection. And we're going to look at some winds. I also had something about winds that the Lord had given me, the supernatural winds, which is the vortexes that we're talking about. So we're going to start with a revelation that he's given me on my birthday. In Doug Addison's prophetic word, he talks about how the Lord is going to be this year giving more people on their birthdays revelation and renewing their calls and greater gifts in the Holy Ghost. But my husband and I, before we go into these, into the prophetic words, we're going to look at some scriptures. And we're going to look at 2 Kings 2:11. It talks about the chariot of fire and the whirlwind as experienced by Elijah. And Elijah witnessed the whirlwind and the chariot coming to get Elijah. And then we'll look at Hebrews 11:5, how the Lord had moved Enoch from the earth into the kingdom realm, body, soul, spirit, because of his dedication. We're reading into this because it's happened in the scriptures over time in the history of mankind, and Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. We're going to also look at Ezekiel 1 about the Lord sending Ezekiel to the house, to a rebellious house, because there are people out there that are saying, why is Dr. Shirley, or why is so-and-so giving these prophetic words? Don't you know that nobody's going to listen to them? Well, the Lord is raising a standard, and he said the same thing to Ezekiel. So, and we're going to read that. We're going to read as actually what the hand of the Lord wrote through prophets that have gone before us, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit about that, okay? And then Ezekiel 2 and 3, these are chapters, and Ezekiel 8, and then Ezekiel 9, verses 1 to 4. And then we will look at the Revelation, Book of Revelation, the come up here, come up now scripture, because that's the Lord's call to us, you know, in the body of Christ as baptized believers. Or, you know, those that are about ready to be baptized. I mean, sometimes he'll take somebody out of their land, all right, with a godly encounter, because he wants to make himself known, and then he will bring them to the place of dedication. So, we got these wonderful things happening, and I'm going to have my husband read 2 Kings 2:11. Regarding the chariot of fire, and I also think you should also, Jeff, maybe you can read also Hebrews 11:5 too about Enoch, and then we'll go back and forth with Ezekiel. So that's our plan. Ready?
Okay.
All right.
2 Kings chapter 2, starting at verse 1. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, he and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please. The Lord has sent me on to Bethel." Elisha replied, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The guild prophets who were in Bethel went out to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master from you?" He replied, "Yes, I know that. Be still." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, please. The Lord has sent me on to Jericho." Elisha replied, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The guild prophets who were in Jericho approached Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master from you?" He replied, "Yes, I know that. Be still." Elijah said to him, "Stay here, please. The Lord has sent me onto the Jordan. Elisha replied, As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So the two went on together. 50 of the guild prophets followed and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood next to the Jordan. Elisha took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and divided it. Divided, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, Request whatever I might do for you before I am taken from you. Elisha answered, May I receive a double portion of your spirit? He replied, You have asked something that is not easy. Still, if you see me taken up from you, your wish will be granted, and otherwise not. As they walked on, still conversing, a fiery chariot and fiery horses came between the two of them. Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind, and Elisha saw it happen. He cried out, my father, Israel's chariot and steeds. Then he saw him no longer. He gripped his own garment, tore it into two pieces, and picked up the mantle which had fallen from Elijah. Then he went back and stood at the bank of the Jordan, welding the mantle which had fallen from Elijah. He struck the water and said, The Lord, the God of Elijah, where is he now? He struck the water, it divided, and he crossed over.
Amen.
That stops at verse 14.
So let's read Hebrews 11:5, and then we'll talk about this in lieu of the prophetic word that God has given us and other people. Awesome.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was found no more because God had taken him. Before he was taken up, he was attested to have pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for anyone who approaches God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him.
Amen. And with the buzzword of that before we go on, because we really want... Whenever the Lord puts his thumbprint on something, that's where we have to pause and just, you know, talk about it, acknowledge what he's trying to say here to his people. And, the buzzword here is faith. This show, like I said earlier, is called Faith Talks by Prayer, where the substance of faith comes alive in our ordinary circumstances, okay? So but it's always the Lord's desire for, to come into our time and, with the natural faith that we're born with, he wants to spark our faith, natural faith with divine faith, okay, through the Holy Spirit. But oftentimes what happens, either through the voice of man or the voice of the enemy influencing man, doubt sets in there and there's a subtraction that happens. And there's a casting of a veil that's not of God. But it's over our conscience, it's over our mind, it's over our spirit, and so the Lord can't get through there. And then we get into all kinds of trouble because we don't, our ear is not inclined to the Lord. He's always wanting to talk to his people, but, it's our thinking, our mind that can be clouded, and our heart. And if we don't guard our mind or have the Lord, renew our minds a lot, eventually our heart is going to be troubled. Our heart is going to become callous. So it's all about, see, the mind and heart are one. You really can't separate it because the heart is where our spirit dwells. And the mind is very much connected to the heart anyways. So we're going to look at Ezekiel 1, chapters 1, 2, and 3 and 8 and 9, 1 through 4. We're going to, my husband and I are going to, we're going to alternate, all right? So, Jeff, why don't you read Ezekiel 1?
Ezekiel chapter 1. In the 30th year of the 5th day of the 4th month, while I was among the exiles at the river Kabah, the heavens opened and I saw divine visions. On the fifth day of the month, this was the fifth year of King
Jehoiakim's
exile. The word of the Lord came to the priest Ezekiel, the son of Berezi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kabah. There the hand of the Lord came upon him. As I watched, a great storm wind came from the north, a large cloud with flashing fire, a bright glow all around it, and something like polished metal gleamed at the center of the fire. From within, figures in the likeness of four living creatures appeared. This is what they looked like. They were in human form, but each had four faces and four wings. And their legs were straight, the soles of their feet like the hooves of a bull, gleaming like polished brass. Human hands were under their wings, and the wings of one touched those of another. Their faces and their wings looked out on all their four sides. They did not turn when they moved, but each went straight ahead. Their faces were like this. Each of the four had a human face, and on the right face, on the right, the face of a lion, and on the left, the face of an ox, and each had the face of an eagle. Such were their faces. Their wings were spread out above. On each one, two wings touched one another, and the other two wings covered the body. Each went straight ahead. Whenever the spirit would go, they went. They did not change directions when they moved. And the appearance of the living creatures seemed like burning coals of fire. Something indeed like torches moved back and forth among the living creatures. The fire gleamed intensely, and from it lightning flashed. The creatures darting back and forth flashed like lightning. As I looked at the living creatures, I saw wheels on the ground, one along each side of the four living creatures. The wheels in their construction sparkled like yellow topaz, and all four of them looked the same. Their construction seemed as though one wheel was inside the other. When they moved, they went in any of the four directions without veering as they moved. The four of them had rims high and fearsome. Eyes filled the four rims all around. When the living creatures moved, the wheels moved with them. When the living creatures were raised from the ground, the wheels were also raised. Whoever the spirit would go, they went, and they were raised up together with the living creatures, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Wherever the living creatures moved, the wheels moved. When they stood still, the wheels stood still. When they were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up with them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Above the heads of the living creatures was the likeness of the firmament. It was awesome, stretching upward like shining crystal over their heads. Beneath the firmament, their wings stretched out toward one another. Each had two wings covering the body. I heard the sound of their wings like the roaring of mighty waters, like the voice of the Almighty. When they moved, the sound of the tumult was like the din of an army, and when they stood still, they lowered their wings. While they stood with their wings lowered, a voice came from above the firmament over their heads. Above the firmament over their heads was the likeness of a throne that looked like sapphire, and upon this likeness of a throne was seated up above a figure that looked like a human being. And I saw something like polished metal, like the appearance of fire, enclosed on all sides. And from what looked like the waist up, and from what looked like the waist down, I saw something like the appearance of fire and brilliant light surrounding him. Just like the appearance of the rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the appearance of brilliance that surrounded him. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face and heard a voice speak.
Chapter 2, Ezekiel's Call. He said to me, "Son of man, stand up on your feet, and I will speak to you." As he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said, "Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says to them.' This is what the Sovereign Lord says. And whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them or their words. Do not be afraid, though briars and thorns are all around you, and you live among scorpions. Do not be afraid of what they say or terrified by them. Though they are a rebellious house, you must speak my words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, listen to what I say to you. Do not rebel like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Then I looked and I saw a hand stretched out to me, and it was a scroll which he unrolled before me. On both sides of it were written words of lament and mourning. And whoa, before we go on to chapter 3, that song that I played earlier called Brave talks about, you know, how we need to, you know, whatever the word is that we need to speak, we need to do it. We need to be brave and do it. The Lord's calling a people to be brave. When he gives a word, don't look to the left or the right. Don't look at what your neighbors are saying, to what your church is saying. We are living in tough times. We are living in dark times. And the word of the Lord has to go forth, has to utter forth. Or the Lord is going to be using people that we least expect to speak the word. If the members of the body of Christ who are baptized believers fail to say what they need to say in a timely manner, that the ones that are called to but have to form prophetic councils in order to give permission from everybody else about what to say. I mean, I really believe that God wants to also increase his trust in people, because they are not trusting what they're getting from God, apparently. So God is going to move in 2014 on that. This is a almost like a preliminary word before we actually go into studying the word. But Jeff, let's go back into Ezekiel 3.
He said to me, son of man, eat what you find here. Eat this scroll, then go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he gave me the scroll to eat. Son of man, he said to me, feed your stomach and fill your belly with this scroll I am giving you. I ate it, and it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. Then he said to me, son of man, go now to the house of Israel and speak my word to them. Not to a people with obscure speech and difficult language am I sending you, but to the house of Israel. Not to many nations of obscure speech and difficult language, whose words you cannot understand. For if I were to send you to these, they would listen to you. But the house of Israel will refuse to listen to you, since they refuse to listen to me. For the whole house of Israel is stubborn of brow and hard of heart. Look, I make your face as hard as theirs, and your brow as stubborn as theirs. Like diamond, harder than flint, I make your brow. Do not be afraid of them, nor be terrified by their looks, nor for they are a rebellious house. Then he said to me, son of man, take into your heart all my words that I speak to you. Hear them well. Now go to the exiles, to your own people, and speak to them. Say to them, whether they hear or refuse to hear, thus says the Lord God. Then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard behind me a loud rumbling noise, as the glory of the Lord rose from its place. The noise of the wings of the living creatures beating against one another, and the noise of the wheels alongside them, a loud rumbling. And the Spirit lifted me up, and took me away, and I went off, my spirit angry and bitter, for the hand of the Lord had pressed hard on me. Thus I came to the exiles who lived at Tel Aviv by the river Kabah, and there where they dwelt, I stayed among them distraught for 7 days. At the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me.
Warning to Israel. At the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to a wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to dissuade him from his evil ways in order to save his life, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do not warn the wicked man and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his evil ways, he will die. And I'm going to put die spiritually for his sin, but you will have saved yourself. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and does evil, and I put a stumbling block before him, he will die. Since you did not warn him, he will die for his sin. The righteous things he did will not be remembered, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the righteous man not to sin, and he does not sin, he will surely live because he took warning, and you will have saved yourself. The hand of the Lord was upon me there, and he said to me, get up and go out to the plain, and there I will speak to you. So I got up and went out to the plain, and the glory of the Lord was standing there like the glory I had seen by the Kebar River, and I fell face down. Then the Spirit came to me and raised me to my feet. He spoke to me and said, go shut yourself inside your house, and you, son of man, they will tie with ropes. You will be bound so that you cannot go out among the people. I will make your tongue stick to the roof of your mouth so that you will be silent and unable to rebuke them, though they are a rebellious house. But when I speak to you, I will open your mouth, and you shall say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Whoever will listen, let him listen, and whoever will refuse, let him refuse. For they are a rebellious house. And then chapter 8, Ezekiel 8, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sixth year of the fifth day of the sixth month, In the sixth year of the fifth day of the sixth month, I was sitting in my house with the elders of Judah sitting before me. The hand of the Lord God fell upon me there. I looked up, and there was a figure that looked like a man. Downward from what looked like his waist, there was fire. From his waist upward, like the brilliance of polished bronze. He stretched out the form of a hand and seized me by the hair of my head. The Spirit lifted me up between the earth and heaven and brought me in divine vision to Jerusalem, to the entrance of the inner gate, facing north, where the statue of jealousy that provokes jealousy stood. There I saw the glory of the God of Israel, like the vision I had seen in the plain. He said to me, son of man, lift your eyes to the north. I looked to the north, and there in the entry north of the altar gate was the statue of jealousy. He asked, son of man, do you see what they were doing? Do you see that great abominations that the house of Israel is practicing here, so that I must depart from my sanctuary? Uselessly even greater abominations. He then brought me to the entrance of the courtyard, and there I saw a hole in the wall. Son of man, he ordered, dig through the wall. I dug through the wall. There was a doorway. Go in, he said to me, and see the evil abominations they are doing here. I went in and looked. Figures of all kinds of creepy things and loathsome beasts, all the idols of the house of Israel, pictured around the wall. Before them stood 70 of the elders of the house of Israel. Among them stood Jezaniah, son of Shaphan, each with a censer in hand. A cloud of incense drifted upward. Then he said to me, do you see, son of man, what the elders of the house of Israel are doing in the dark, each in his idol chamber? They think the Lord cannot see us. The Lord has forsaken the land. He said, you will see them practicing even greater abominations. Then he brought me to the entrance of the north gate of the house of the Lord. There women sat and wept for Tammuz. He said to me, do you see the son of man? You will see other abominations greater than these. He then brought me into the inner court of the house of the Lord. There at the door of the Lord's temple, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs to the Lord's temple and their faces towards the east. They were bowing eastward to the sun. He said, do you see, son of man, are the abominable things the house of Judah has done here so slight that they should do also fill the land with violence and provoking me again and again? Now they are putting the branch to my nose. Therefore I in turn will act furiously. My eye will not spare, nor will I take pity. Even if they cry out in a loud voice for me to hear, I shall not listen to them.
Wow. I just want to, before we go to Ezekiel 9:1-4, a couple of things have stood out here in the scriptures regarding jealousy. Did you know jealousy is an idol? Some people relate jealousy to the Jezebel spirit, where she definitely was going after the Elijah's anointing because she was a witch and she wanted the power for herself, and she was jealous over anyone who had that. But I believe that's what's happening in the body of Christ. I see and witness when people give prophetic words, especially the ones that appear to be authentic words from the Lord, that you have other leaders that want to downplay they almost like have a prophetic showdown, hoedown, shootout contest, and let's shoot the prophets. And they even may go as far as calling people false prophets when everybody's on the same team. So, there's that competition spirit there that's trying to, cause division. And that's not from the Holy Spirit. That's from those who entertain the Jezebel spirit and the fruit called jealousy that comes from that spirit. We really have to repent of that if we're going to receive the good benefits of following the Lord in 2014, the blessings. But we have to acknowledge that we've from time to time either participated or came into agreement with the spirit of jealousy and the fruit of jealousy. Yeah. And as it was meted out by the spirit, that's behind the Jezebel stronghold. Once we realize that, we really, need to ask the Lord to clothe us with his mercy. To pray for those who, have hurt us through that, or those that we could have hurt. It's a back and forth situation. You have to acknowledge that, because you want a clean plate. You want a clean slate with the Lord. Forget about. I say this. I'm not saying this facetiously. But it's really all about our own hearts. But if each one did their part to participate with the Lord in the purification of their lives and hearts, then the body of Christ would be so powerful because we are all members of it, Some of us have a hand, some of us are a head, some of us are the heart, But we all have a stake in this for the benefit of the body. But we are responsible for ourselves as the Lord shows us, right? And then there was something else, too, that intrigued me. When Jeff read about the east, he says, he then brought me into the inner court of the house of the Lord. And when we are a temple of the Holy Spirit, and within our spirit, we can connect to God because the kingdom of God is within. And this is for baptized believers, who receive Jesus as Lord and Savior and ask for the Holy Spirit who brings us into all truth, the Spirit of the living God. And the thing being is that even in this inner court, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 8, there were leaders during that time who had the Holy Spirit come upon them, but not from within, because Jesus hadn't come to die for our sins at that time. But he says, he then brought me into the inner court of the house of the Lord, and there at the entrance to the temple, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord. So there are people that were just right there in the inner court. And so sometimes we get like that when we get distracted, when those distractions come in because those foxes have got, that are still in the dens of our heart, or that are in the chambers of our heart, think It wants us to think it's a den for them. But those foxes don't need to be there, right? But when we don't know that they don't need to be there and they occupy that place without our heart, something is wrong. And this is when, the people of God can turn their backs, okay, while they're worshiping. So, and their faces toward east. So the east, I really believe it's the eastern ways of doing things before the birth of Jesus. You know, when the world was in a pagan stronghold, and even now some of those Christians too can get trapped, caught up in that, in the worship of the east, by forsaking Jesus and saying, I'm not getting it from this one and that one, but I'm going to, I'm going to do this yoga, I'm going to do Reiki, I'm going to, go into astral projection, because that's where I can get the greatest enlightenment. And this is without Jesus, all right? If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you will fall by the wayside. And this, I believe, is the Eastern ways of doing things. Now, not to say that the Lord can't deliver you or set you on the right track, but you have to be willing to repent and know that it's not the way to go. And I really believe that people that get caught up in that, because I've been around people that have done these things and and spoke to them afterwards, and they're saying they're trying to get enlightened on their own power, and it's just not happening because the cares of the world are coming in, and they're just not getting there, so they get mad at themselves and at the process, because they're not supposed to be there at that place anyways. And that's maybe a good thing for them, because God is allowing them to see the error of their ways. But it becomes a waste of time and a waste of money, because these things are very expensive. And the people that are benefiting are the ones that are being used of the enemy to deceive people into thinking that they can attain self-actualization and a heightened sense of self-awareness on their own power without Jesus. And a lot of times I look at their faces and they're not happy. They look like they want to bite someone's head off. And I'm like, gee, if that's enlightenment, then, I'm so glad I'm following the Lord Jesus, and things like that. But at the same time, we don't want to get so much into that judgment. We just want to pray for them, in the spirit. Pray for people that are coming under deception or once were Christian and now believe that Buddha is the way. Buddha is not the way. Buddha was just a man who had some good teaching. But some of those teachings, if you look at them, sound so much like Christianity. Maybe they were a bunch of disenchanted Christians that, decided, let's just, create a book that takes Christianity and just leaves Jesus out of it. And I think that's what happens with the gift of healing. That's what happens with faith. I think their healing is authentic. I think when Jesus came to the earth, he just made a place. He was the healing. He was the fulfillment of all healing. He became our divine physician. All right, so the other thing that I wanted that really stood out too was earlier, let's go back to earlier to Ezekiel 8, because it says right here, from what appeared, it says, I saw a figure that of a man from what appeared to be his waist down. He was like fire, and from there up his appearance was as bright as glowing metal. He stretched out what looked like a hand and took me by the hair of my head. The Spirit lifted me up between the earth and heaven, and in visions of God he took me to Jerusalem, to the north gate of the inner court. Now, I want to say we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, okay? The Lord is showing me in this Holy Ghost that two fraternal twins. It's the heart of man, the temple of man, as opposed to a way of looking at the human body. Like you all know, I'm studying alternative medicine to understand how ancient civilization looked at the human body and what was the medicine of the day with Jesus. And that's all I'm going to say right now. But what I do know regarding the temple of the Holy Spirit, it made me understand Ezekiel better, was we have in Oriental medicine, physicians go back way, you know, the physicians of the West have learned a great deal from the physicians of, you know, the Chinese physicians, because they've contributed to the pulse, understanding the pulse, understanding why we look at the tongue and its role in diagnosis. And also, the different parts of our blood and how our internal organs relate to each other. And they even, you know, say that the heart is the emperor of the body, because it has Shen, mind and spirit, in our heart. And when the blood is right, our mind, our Shen, our spirit in our heart is good. And that's the heart rules the tongue. Now, that is from James 3. I'm learning all these wonderful things in studying Oriental medicine, in the basis and the origin of why we are called a temple, okay? But this perfect man was brought before Ezekiel, and I really believe this was the glorified version of Jesus, okay? Fire from the waist down. Did you know that there's a part in Oriental medicine in our waist down where our kidneys are located? They call that the gate of heaven and the minister's fire. This minister's fire can, you know, between the kidneys, located a region between the kidneys, houses it's the gate of life, the highest, houses the minister's fire and the pre-heaven essence and post-heaven essence, okay? And it's where the life force is generated to conceive babies, all right? And also to keep our heart going. This minister fire goes all the way up to our heart and activates the activity of the heart and warms all of our internal organs and turns on all the internal organs. They say that it makes the yin and brings us into balance and harmony, through the yin and yang principle. Without those two, life would cease to exist, constantly in motion. But that, that's why Jesus says he's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning of all things. He holds our life together. He holds existence together, and he holds the key to death and the grave. And he keeps us going. And the thing being is that, and he sends us the Holy Spirit to bring us into all truth. So that's where Oriental medicine's left off, is where Christianity picks up, because our everything, we get our life force from the Holy Spirit. He is the giver of life. He proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and Son, he is worshipped and glorified. So this fire gives us life, and that's why he sends us the fire of the Holy Spirit. I'm looking at this, I'm saying, oh, wow, all this revelation. And so so Ezekiel is looking at that totality of the reality of what the fire, what this fire is doing, what this fire's purpose is supposed to be for mankind. Amen. And he received revelation. He got empowered. His whole being was transformed before the presence of this man that was burning so brightly like fire. It's amazing. It's just amazing. Anyways, so the jealousy can stand in the way, and that's where, back then, that's where a lot of people were just there was such a competition spirit there. Jeff, you want to say something?
Yeah, everybody is jealous of all the other people doing whatever they wanted. No form or regulation around their lives.
Yeah.
They just did whatever was right in their own mind.
Yeah.
And God gave the people of Israel a moral structure. And
they didn't follow it. Yeah.
There were those among them that didn't like it.
Yeah.
And
they preferred these other things.
So instead of leaving the temple the way it was, they presented an image in place of God.
And see, in Jesus, we have that option through communion to not come into agreement with, you know, the darkness that's in this world as right now in 2014. But God, through the prophetic word of these wonderful people that we're about ready to read, he has a remedy for those who will trust in him. Ezekiel 9:1 says, 9:1-4. Then I heard him call out in a loud voice, "Bring the guards of the city here, each with a weapon in his hand." And I saw six men coming from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with a deadly weapon in his hand. With them was a man clothed in linen who had a writing kit at his side. They came in and stood beside the bronze altar. Now the glory of the God of Israel went up from above the cherubim where it had been and moved to the threshold of the temple. Then the Lord called to the man clothed in linen who had the writing kit at his side and said to him, "Go throughout the city of Jerusalem and put a mark on the forehead of those who grieve and lament over all of the detestable things that are done in it." And those, my friends, are the intercessors. That is why there's a part to, and I'm hoping that we can do it in this show, there's going to be a part to this show that we're going to go into a prophetic word that the Lord gave James Gall and the men that was around him regarding the posture and position of those who are called to the prophetic intercessory prayer ministry. Okay, so we are now going to go into the prophetic word for 2014 that the Lord's given me, and then we're going to be reviewing Chuck Pierce's prophetic word as well as Doug Addison from his ministry, and the name of that ministry is Enlight Connection. Okay, all right.
Inside.
Hello, this is Dr. Hello, this is Dr. Shirley. Hello, this is Dr. Shirley. Hello, this is. So now we get to the point that, you know, where we are now going to go into the prophetic word spoken by, well, given to Chuck Pierce and Doug Addison and also myself. I also want to let you know it's not all about the person. It's about the word that goes forward. And we always wait for confirmation as to how the Lord's moving in the body of Christ. And if there's similar words, we are going to speak it. You know, we, like I said, the Lord gives, he entrusts his people with what he feels that they can do. So, you know, without further ado, we'll ask the Holy Spirit to come. Come, Lord, come Holy Spirit, come with your power, come with your glory as we delve into the words given to us, Lord, not because of anything that we think we deserve, but because you've chosen us as vessels and other people as well. So we thank you, Lord, for your mighty hand moving upon your people, moving upon your body, and that there would be more people with more prophetic words as time goes on, as they place all their trust in you. We thank you. So I want to start with on my birthday, because somewhere in the prophetic word that Doug Addison gives, he likes to get the long ones, but they're very detailed. He talks about the Lord releasing in a greater way in 2014, prophetic words on people's birthdays, you know. He loves to give gifts. He's our Heavenly Father. He loves to bless his children with awesome spiritual gifts under the open heaven on their birthdays. Hallelujah. Just think about the birth of Jesus, and he used the wise men to give him, you know, the wisest people on the face of this earth to give him gifts, because they acknowledge his divinity, they acknowledge the king, the kingly, the kingship of Jesus. Okay, so I begin in this by thanking everyone for the birthday acknowledgments. So I say, for I truly did have a blessed birthday. And both me and my husband, Jeff, received an open-eye angelic visitation. See, I never like to leave Jeff out of anything. Whenever the Lord says, I want to do this, I say, can you do this for Jeff, too? We are one. So he does. So anyways, we received an open angelic visitation with a revelation for the body of Christ regarding the mighty wave of revival that is just beginning to hit regions of America. We are going to share the New England connection. The thickest part of the wave center of the revival is going to be concentrated in the New England area, and then it will go across America and wind around the borders and then throughout the earth. In the morning of my birthday, the Lord, via the Holy Spirit, made a pronouncement that he was going to send thousands upon ten thousands upon ten thousands and myriads of angels to the New England area to prepare his people through revelation for the work they are about to do in his name. In the beginning phases of this revival, and it was funny, I gave that word in particular, as it was coming into my spirit, I proclaimed it, my husband was with me, and I said, this is what the Lord is saying, and then that was it. Then I just continued to drive my vehicle, and I'm like, I don't know what this means. He just said, I'm sending my people 10,000 and 10,000 upon 10,000 of myriads of angels. And then, so, you know, like anything, I put that in the back of my mind, and then, you know, went throughout my day. And then later on in that afternoon, right around noontime, actually, the Lord began to manifest his presence in the clouds in a form of rainbows that looked like eyes. And so, and then it kept getting increasingly clear, and then other things were happening to these eyes. So this is what I'm going to share with you. Revival centers of varying degrees are going to spring forth in very unusual places, such as places of business, hospitals, okay, funeral parlors, shopping malls, parking lots, people's houses, police and fire departments, and schools in New England will never be the same, and the whole world will take notice and catch it on national television. Because of the unusual reports of strange and glorious manifestations. And do you know, at some point, people, your very loved ones, mark my words, are going to be afraid when a loved one dies, because they're, and especially ones with the money and ones with a huge estate, they're not going to want to invite you to the funeral because of your reputation, because God will use a whole lot of you to raise people from the dead. And they're going to be so fearful, because that would mean that if the person was raised back from the dead, the loved one, then they're not going to get their inheritance. So, you know, it's I hate to say it, it's in the families. It's, you know, when there's a human being and not redeemed by the Lord, then you get these funny little scenarios that seem to happen. You all know what I mean. Anyways, so the Lord is also saying that look at the movement of the Boston teams and their unusual victories for a place in hopelessness, and you know and see his hand begin to work in this manner, in this way that has begun to break forth. And you know, the things of the spiritual, of the physical, always, the things of the physical always, always are parallel to the spiritual. What you see physically is what's happened in the spirit, because it's happened in the spirit before you saw it spirit, physically. So it precedes, the things of the spirit precede the physical manifestation of all what is about, what is already taking place in the prophetic. This wave is going to increase its momentum. There is something to the Boston Strong theme. The Lord is saying, in their weakness, I will be their strength. The Lord is making the people of Boston and surrounding areas strong in him as a sign that he will be a stronghold for his people who are called by his name and will deliver them in their weaknesses for a greater thing. Jeff, feel free to interject as I'm going along in this, okay?
I will do.
Yep. The angel that visited us was an angel of revelation. It wasn't the angel of revelation. The Lord said, an angel of revelation. I know that some people have said that they encountered the angel of revelation, but there is, I really believe, there's an angel of revelation and an angel of this and an angel of that. But only, it's up to God to let us know who these angels are. We can't just say this is the only angel that, you know, that spoke to him. So the angel that was that visited us was an angel of revelation. This angel had rainbow eyes and a light beam coming forth from it and shoot across the sky, and led by other smaller angels. I believe these angels were holy. The first one had a shofar trumpet and seemed to be leading this very big angel of revelation. There seems to be a God incident that occurred before this revelation took place. Before this particular revelation and dream, a revelation within a dream. This past Saturday evening, I attended Saturday Night Pursuit at the Boston Metro West Church in Natick, Mass. Pastor David Paul Guidry's church, Pastor Paul David Guidry's church, or I should say the Lord's church, pastored by Pastor Paul David Guidry. I'm sure he will agree with that statement. And he had a guest speaker. It was James Levesque. Well, I think it was my first time coming to one of his events. I was trying to come before, but things come up and I wasn't able to make it. So anyways, it was a Saturday Night Pursuit, and we were coming to a time of passionate worship. In that intimate setting, I was touched in ways I could not comprehend and cannot put into words. And within a few days of this came this intense revelation that was also witnessed by my husband. We're bringing this forward to you as we already entered in 2014, and you know, as we laid it down, the prophetic word down, just prayed and sat on it. I believe I posted it to my personal Facebook page, as well as the ministry Faith Talks Light Prayer page, the official ministry page for Faith Talks Light Prayer at Blog Talk Radio. Other people, it was really, I say surprising, because I'm always thinking, you know, we're human beings, we may get some things wrong, but I'm telling you, the more that we sat on the word and, didn't go forward with it on Blog Talk Radio, we allowed it to simmer, you know, on the stove, on the stove of our hearts. I love that metaphor, the stove of our hearts. So, you know, as we did that, the Lord began to unfold other people's prophetic word, it seems. And, you know, they were getting what we were saying, plus more, wherever they were, positioned in the body of Christ. And it was just wonderful to see again this emergence, this fresh emergence of a prophetic word just unfolding, in our time. So, anyways, we're gonna talk about the tornado dream because it ties in with what my son was sharing in our previous broadcast, Time and Eternity. We started with Time and Eternity Part 1, and then Part 2. Part 2 was with the Christmas special. But in Part 1, I introduced my son, Jean-Pierre Placide, who had a prophetic word from a dream that he had had about being ready. It was a message of urgency because, he also had a vortex dream where these little white tornadoes are coming down and pulling people up, but the people were willingly going inside these tunnels, these funnel clouds, because that maybe they were called, and then there were other people that were going into a brick building. They didn't want anything to do with this. But he saw groups of people going up, and they were very peaceful. But he got an urgency in his spirit, like we must be ready. So whether that was a rapture or not, we'll leave that open to the Lord. But we do know that there are people that have near death experiences that also say the same thing. In another broadcast, we already have it lined up. We are going to delve more into this, and we recorded, our documentary, the audio part of it, so that you can actually hear through the voices of individuals who during surgeries or whatever, wherever they were, whether it would be an accident, had near-death experience. It wasn't their time, but they saw similar things. There's pockets of people, groups of people, they get together just to talk about these. It keeps them going. It keeps their faith alive because they were given a very special gift, to go up to where the Lord is and then, and receive something to bring back to the earth. So I believe that maybe that's what the rapture is all about, people going back and forth from heaven and bringing something from the heavens to the earth. To warn the people, there's one last time, there's something beyond ourselves, something greater than ourselves, and to get people, for people to get their house in order, I'm talking their temples, their life, and things like that. Anyways, I want to start with somebody that's the same age as my son. His name, I'm going to just give him the initials JL. If he listens to this, he'll know it's him. But, for confidentiality purposes. I wanted to share with you how the Lord is speaking to people that want to even have the tendency to have the Lord speak to them. He had chased me down, to be honest with you, because he knew that I took understanding dreams and vision, in previous conversations, and how, we had dreams all the time, and he's listened to our shows, and, we talk about dreams and what the Lord's saying through them, and so he finally sent me the dream, because I told him, I'm ready to interpret, so, but I'm not going to give that part, the interpretation part, but I want to give you an idea as to how the Lord's even speaking to the 30s, the generation 30 and something, and, and he's using our generation to mentor them, okay, about what God is saying. So in this dream, from JL. In the dream I had on Monday morning, I was protecting or shepherding a group of people who were trying to get to safety from a storm. We were on a hillside, a high place, near some large brick buildings. They were red brick, according to him. They looked like they could have been a part of a large university. I was with quite a few people who were hurrying towards the buildings because the sky was getting black. Spiritual condition. As we near the buildings, the clouds started forming funnel clouds and tornadoes. There were many children who were lost and scared, especially a tiny girl that I scooped up in my arms as I ran towards the buildings. In the dream, I remember funnel clouds and tornadoes touching down every way I turned around the buildings. Finally, we were all inside, and the windows turned black from the storm. Windows means vision, okay? Then I woke up. I've had many dreams with a similar motif to this one, but not just like this one. Does that make sense? I said, yes, it does. I've dreamt about protecting people in a church from zombies trying to break in, or protecting people on a spaceship from aliens, protecting my family in our house from dinosaurs that are trying to eat them, protecting the village from demons, but never protecting people from tornadoes. I look forward to your insight. So I gave him the, you know, the insight that God has called him to, a leadership position. He has a heart for people, and, you know, when he looks at people, it really breaks his heart when he sees the spiritual decay that's happening. And so he's one that to nurture many people, and God's calling him to that high place, okay, of spiritual authority. Let's see. And I also shared with him that these tornado storms are the crisis that people are facing in their life, the spiritual crises, or even, you know, crises in their everyday life that, you know, that are tripping them up and getting them not to focus on the Lord. And then he woke up, and I did ask him, was he feeling peaceful? He said, yes, he was. But in the dream, he was really very frantic in getting the people to safety. So the Lord's given him a calling in his life to be like a caretaker or a shepherd or a people. And so people are going to look to him, and something's good, you know, very wonderful is going to open up for him for that to happen. So I asked right now, Lord, you know who this person is with the initials JL. I ask that you touch him, Lord, and Lord, that you would, cover him with your precious blood, Lord. Let him know in a very special way how much you love him, Lord. Show him your glory, Lord. And I ask that you would minister to him in a greater way in the night season. And, you know, that he would read that Psalm 91 that I gave him in Psalm 19, and that he would understand who you are and what his calling is in you, in Jesus' name. And what if he's somehow strayed away, Lord, that you would bring him back and very strong and in his faith walk. We thank you, Jesus, and use him where he is at, Lord. There are many people coming from different walks of life and different methods of expressing their spirituality. I really believe you are raising up JL in such a time as this to be the difference that makes a difference. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Okay, so let's go on. Jeff, I'm going to give you Chuck Pierce's. Chuck Pierce's. Just recast the bold print. But just, you know, it's a whole prophetic, yeah. Just read that out there, yeah. Yeah. Oh, Jeff.
Prophetic insight for 2014 from Glory of Zion Ministry, Chuck D. Pierce. Disconnect emotions and look to the other side. On Saturday morning during our gathering, the Spirit of God began to speak powerfully during our time of worship. As we move forward into 2014, we want to let go of all that would hinder us from moving forward with freedom and focus our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith. Here is a portion of the prophetic words that came forward. Don't look back in the past. Look forward to the path that lies ahead of you. You've been looking for a needle in a haystack, and I'm causing you to get past the straw and build on a new foundation. Quit spending your time looking for that which you can't find. Because you keep looking for that which you can't find, you're missing the supply to build with what you need to build. This is a season to build on a different foundation, a firm foundation, and from that place, I'll put iron on your legs to stand. Talk about the collaborative. I am bringing forth a new alignment, and they will be alignments that you did not know of. They will be alignments that will even be a strain for you, but they will be alignments that I have set in your pathway, and they will be the new order. For there was an order you walked in the past seasons.
Don't read this. Okay. Just read this, please. Okay. Hmm? Yeah. You're right. You're reading.
in a past season where you had chosen the pathway that you would walk in, and you even chose your alignment, but this is a season where I am choosing for you. Begin to listen to my voice. Begin to hear what it is that I am saying. For I will cause there to be an army that will be aligned and arrayed in this season, as you have never been arrayed before. For I am cloaking you afresh and anew, and I am placing a fresh, new mantle upon you. I am even causing your garments to be changed. So do not continue to look for the old. Do not continue to look for the familiar. Do not continue to look for that which I caused in the past season. This is a new day, and I will do it in a new way. The new way is my way.
Look again at relationships. Those that you have decided are one way, look again. For I am changing each person, even in your network. Some of you will connect in a new way that you never thought you would. Other relationships you may move on past. Look and discern carefully what I have for you in this season and how to connect. Wait for a time and look as the path begins to form and relations begin to form. Don't connect too quickly because you'll see with past eyes. Let me change your vision. Let me change your eyes as you begin to look into each person because I am doing a work and have done a work in this last season that you know not of. There is a deep work that I have begun, and it's been in this last season. Now, if you look with fresh eyes, you will look and see what I have done. So wait before you begin to connect in this season. Wait and let me show you what I have done and discern through their spirit what is done there. So it was in the last season that the enemy shattered the vessel that you are, and you felt like your pieces were scattered on the ground, thousands of pieces, and they could not be put back together. But it is my word, it is my glory, it is my grace that is the glue that gathered up your pieces and put them back together. For so it is that there is no gap in who you are in that tomorrow, for that gap is fixed. So go forth in the glory that I have established for you. You will be victorious. Cast your net on the other side. You'll be surprised what you would find. Cast your net on the other side. You'll be surprised what you will find. Treasure was not in the place you sought and sought before. Cast your net on the other side. You'll be surprised what you will find. Now is when you have a choice. You can decide to disconnect your emotions and move forward, or you can hold on to past expectations and find yourself in lack. If you move forward with the emotions you had from last year, then those nets that you throw out will come back empty. You either disconnect or you find yourself cycling back again and again and again. Okay, and this is from Chuck Pierce and his prophetic team, Debbie DeGar, Dee Dee Roberts, Diane Russell, and James Vincent and Tobias Lyons. And you know, when Jeff was reading the first half of this about disconnecting the emotions and look to the other side, I mean, you know, that speaks volumes to me because last year me and my children got a chance to see their father with the blessing of my husband Jeff one last time before he passed away this December 16th. And about two and a half years ago, right, Jeff? The father got very ill we don't know what it was exactly from, but he got very ill and landed in the hospital. And he had to have multiple valve replacements in his heart. It was like a man-eating bacteria coming from some area.
Yeah, and they had to put him in cold suspension to do it all.
Yeah, so he was practically not on this earth in order for him to do the surgery. He was in between heaven and earth, and they didn't know if he was going to wake up out of this. They also had to do a brain surgery, too, because of clots going to his brain. He had, prior to this man-eating virus, had a high blood pressure and potential for clotting anyways. He became a born-again Christian from what we heard before he passed away. Upon the marriage of his wife. And so, you know, he had done missionary work with the folks in Mexico and with, you know, he was an optometrist and he would give them free eyewear and examinations. And so all these things we found out, you know, toward the end of his life, and that was a consolation to me, because no matter how we turned out, I was always faithful to praying for him, even if it didn't mean that we were going to be coming to get back together like I would have wanted to at some point. The Lord had other plans for both of us, and it seemed that he came to the Lord right when he married his wife or shortly thereafter. And I came to the Lord, you know, in my singleness too. So, and God put this wonderful husband, Jeff, in my path. We known each other for years before we got married. But anyways, I wanted to say that there was a lot of hurt and a lot of things that I had to stuff. And, you know, I brought it to the Lord several times. But in this, I was always wondering, did I really forgive him? And the Lord gave me the opportunity to acknowledge that I forgave him, because he had certainly done that to me. He had asked me for my forgiveness when he got out of the coma. After me and my husband, Jeff, prayed over him on the phone that he would wake up out of the coma so he can reconcile with his children, because they hadn't seen him since they were babies. And so when he woke up out of the coma, they went down and spent a whole week in San Antonio. In Houston, Texas, the whole Thanksgiving weekend. And this is a man with a blood clot in his brain and had been in a coma. The first thing he remembered was when they were babies. It was so crystal clear, and they were just so blessed that he did not forget them like they thought he did all these years. And then my daughter made him a grandfather, and he came up, I guess, like he was in and out of the hospitals that for a whole year. And but this time when the Lord was, I was asking Jeff, I'm like, should I go and see him? He's requesting to see me, but, you know, he knows, you know, I mean, he's married, and I didn't know what, you know, I said, it was just so awkward, but this is for the kids. So I went, and, we got a chance to, talk and air out the stuff on the table and misunderstandings, and where we were spiritually then and where we're spiritually now. And there was more apologies. And then I got a chance to pray for him spiritually, that God would, you know, he would come into his full inheritance. Little did I know that a year from then, the Lord called him home, a year to the date that we saw him. And my children were, they were just, starting to get to know their father as adults. And within a three-day time period before he passed away, his daughter, had actually talked to him about, about coming down to El Paso to spend the summer or part of the summer with him, and then he wanted to see the baby and everything. And then, 3 days later, he passed away. Then my son, my daughter couldn't go to the funeral, but my son did. And this is the prophetic words that the Lord is saying. He's going to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children. And this is a word that we had given last year when we saw an angel, I believe it was an angel of revelation, blow a trumpet, and it was in the form of a construction worker. And it was a nice, glorious, sunny day. And these people were on the side of the road blowing the shofar, this person was, and scattered a group of people that were just walking into the distance, they looked like they were walking into the sunset. And then when they heard the trumpet, they scattered, and they went to different areas. But they seemed to have come from different backgrounds, and the Lord was just bringing them to their place. But they had to leave certain areas in order to go to where they needed to go, and they had to give up their idols and things like that. Some had to walk in forgiveness, and, you know, still others needed to be healed of other things. And so that's what was happening for many of you people, many of the people of God, us, but 2013, we had to, you know, it was one last attempt for the Lord to mend our ways cause reconciliations to happen, because He was going to take some people home and leave some people, you know, here to, you know, keep building his kingdom. And that required, a heart repair, ironically, right? So So that's what happened. So Dr. Shirley was given that revelation about, you know, things in ruins. God was going to bring some restorations out of it, but it wasn't going to be the way that we thought or would think or would consider. It was done in a better way. Not that I'm saying, you know, it was tough for him to take people out, you know, to bring people home that you once knew. It's so, you know, I've always had a hard time with that because of, you know, I had a lot of relatives go to heaven. And, you know, and it's just like me and my sister are standing out of that whole bunch of people. But the thing being is that we know they're in a good place. So it's like, why? You know, we still feel like little girls. What's going on? You know, but we know that God's called, you know, has a task for us. Apparently their task was finished, which was raising us, I guess, right? And so, but I, you know, I live in an 11 family right now. That's a really huge family. And so, and you know, we all have lessons to learn. We all have things that God wants us to do. And he, in this life, is a preparation of things to come. And but if some of you that are listening to this prophetic word, you're like, well, yeah, but I'm still, it seems like I'm still caught up in this thing. This is a good chance for you to just listen to this show. And sometimes you may just have to sit back and hear what the Holy Spirit is saying through people like ourselves who've been inspired by the Lord or other people that we're going to present to you on this wonderful tapestry that we're presenting on Faith Talks Live Prayer. I should say through this wonderful tapestry of the prophetic. And, you know, you're going to hear, you know, something for you, and it's going to cause a deep conviction in your heart that you've never experienced before. And it's going to open the way for another encounter and another and another. And in these encounters, you're going to be changed. You're never going to be the same again. And for those who are destined to come to the Lord, you're going to want to come to the Lord. So, you know, because you're going to be like, wow, a light bulb is going to go on. You can say, wow, there is a God. There is a God that can lift me up out of the miry, you know, this world of darkness, this muck, this miry clay, this prison that you find yourself in. You know, if he did this for Dr. Shirley, he can certainly do this for you and my kids. Now, my son, my oldest son, which is, you know, the man that I was talking about is his father. He had, I didn't think he was going to go to his father's funeral, but he did, and he gave a wonderful eulogy. And what we're going to do, I'm going to read to you what he wrote. He gave that permission, and that's going to be, you know, at the end of the sharing of this prophetic word before we go into the prophetic word that has been ushered forth from the folks in Calvary Pentecostal Campground in Ashland, Virginia. But we wanted to open up with the prophetic word of 2014 because you're going to be able to see this tapestry unfold as we go forward in this broadcast in 2014. All right. So, So then, and you know, I get this thing, you know, we're still on this vortex. So I'm like, Lord, what's up about the winds? What is, you know, what do you want to say about the winds? Because he's been showing me about winds for the longest time, but in different dreams and different visions. And so, you know, when JL gave me his version of the vortex, I was like, he didn't even read what I had. But, you know, again, I think he might be new to the prophetic. It says, this happened, I think, the 10 days into 2014. So it says, last night, I wrote this down, my dream down, not really last night, but, you know, about 30 days ago last night. Last night I had a tornado dream. These tornadoes were not like any other tornado. They were different sizes, different strengths, and different hues. They were similar to the polar vortexes that just happened that affected the weather with massive cold temperatures. The Lord was saying to me, this is just the beginning of these strange vortexes with strange motions, doing different things in the spirit that eye or ear has not seen. For these vortexes will not be typical. They will have a very unique pattern and contain unsizable. Can't wrap it around your head. It's unmeasurable, immeasurable. Winds and forms of various dimensions bring in strange things and strange situations to the earth. Some vortexes will come from up from under the ground with a strange sound, bringing forth good fruit and cures of cancer and other diseases of man. Others will come directly from heaven itself. Other winds and vortexes will come from the people. Because do you know there's wind in you? Chinese medicine says that there's liver wind. You know, when people get their liver up there, a lot of them are angry and stuff like that. That's not so nice of a wind, but, you know, there's that peace and calm, the wind of the Spirit that brings you into all peace at the same time. So you call for the wind of the Holy Spirit, right? Okay, other vortexes will transport and translate individuals back and forth to other places, some to heaven and others around the earth. To the believer of Jesus, of Yeshua, it will be to spread the gospel. To those that need to be saved, it will be to hear the gospel of salvation. The Lord, he'll do this in your sleep. And then you wake up, you're like, a wind carried me. And then you'll have to write it. I would write it down if I were you. The Lord is saying, listen to the wind that has come forth from the north, for it is the beginnings of the supernatural seasons of the winds, okay? And so that's why at the beginning we opened up with those scriptures. It talks about, you know, the different whirlwinds and what they did and, you know, and what it accomplished. I'm telling you, it's all about... This 2014 is all about the winds of heaven. The season, we are in the seasons of the winds. Ah, all right, Jeff, I want you to, we're near the end of this segment, and I want you to go into, to read Doug Addison's prophetic encounter. And if you want to read the whole thing, go ahead, and we'll talk about that.
Doug Addison, Prophetic 2014. A new gate will open in heaven. God is opening a gateway into the heavenly realm in 2014 for deeper revelation and greater power. This is the start of a new season, and the drought we have been experiencing in the kingdom over the last few years is now over. Expect an increase in your spiritual gifts, dreams, visions, and supernatural encounters. This will open the opportunity for you to step up to the new level and see the results for your efforts. After this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven, and then a voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. Three moves of God. We will see the start of a new move of God that will come in phases over the next few years. This year, God is breaking the spiritual drought we have been in since 2008. I had a dream where the angels came and told me the humidity level right now is at 8, which is the number of new beginnings. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. Isaiah 44, verse 3. The first part of this new movement of God will involve a time of refreshment for those who are weary. You will experience many renewals of His presence and gifts in your life. Many people have been suffering from hope deferred for so long that they need to soften up and be recharged. The second part of this movement will be a new reign of the Holy Spirit that will come upon those that are seeking all that God has for them. This movement will look very strange as all types of people will begin to be drawn to God. In the midst of this, a new generation will begin to awaken to God's love, power, and acceptance. The next phase will bring God's power like we have not experienced it before. This will be a new level of God's fiery presence and healing. This is the start of a new healing movement with miracles, signs, and wonders and deeper revelation. Prophetic words from 2009. God showed me many prophetic words from the year 2009 that were intended to be filled in 2010, were actually delayed until now. I went back, checked my journal, and sure enough, I found many prophetic words in 2009 that never came about that are happening right now. I also got a confirming email from a friend whose prophetic word that I gave in 2009 is now beginning to happen. Go to your journal and look for prophecies or dreams from 2009. Get ready for them to unfold now at a greater level. conciliation instead of accusation. The spirit of accusation has been dominating the church for the past few years, making an unhealthy environment. When we accuse others without trying to find solutions, we must be careful that we are not coming into agreement with darkness over a person instead of God's purposes. One of the names given to Satan is the accuser of believers. We need to be very careful to not accuse others, but to build them up instead. God is releasing a spirit of reconciliation to offset the strong negative accusations. There are many Bible verses that talk about blessing people instead of cursing them. Romans 12:14, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Happy birthday. This year everyone will receive a new gift from God on his or her birthday. This might be a greater measure of the gifts you already have, new gifts of healing, prophecy, serving. So get ready to receive birthday presents with a greater level of God's presence. You can expect a present of God's presence. In the same spirit of giving, this year God is freeing up gifts and callings that have been given to people who have stopped using them or from people who have gone to heaven. Many of these spiritual gifts and callings will be given to those who have been humble, seeking God, and have not built themselves up or have operated in pride. God is lifting up those who have been humble. Some of them are the least expected. Those who have received these gifts and callings will have a sudden acceleration in their life, ministry, or businesses. But people who have been building their lives, ministries, and using others for their own gain will experience decline. God's love is still with them, but they will no longer have the edge they once had.
So, Jeff, do you want to pray right now for the body of Christ? Oh, we're not done yet. I'm going to continue on with Doug Addison's prophetic word, Jezebel spirit exposed. We talked about that from Ezekiel, about the spirit of jealousy. 2014 will be a year that the Jezebel spirit will be exposed throughout the church, government, and businesses. People who have been operating with this divisive and divided and conquering spirit will be revealed. God will be revealing a new strategy to remove the grips and tentacles of the Jezebel spirit, which has resisted and hindered previous moves of God over and over. And, you know, and you will also be revealing strategies to for believers not to come under that, I believe. God, that's my opinion. I mean, prophetic opinion or word. I'm getting an understanding of that. That's what will happen. God's new agenda. God has an agenda this year to bring healing and reconciliation to people who have been wounded or rejected by Christians. There are such a large number of people who have been wounded by Christianity or those in leadership. This should not be. God's love is for everyone, and we must show it to those who need it the most. Quite often, these are the ones who might be offended by this or have different viewpoints. God is drawing in the spiritual outcast right now and dragging a net along the bottom that will pull up people from all the walks of life. In order to be part of God's agenda, we must love unconditionally and be willing to walk with people who have been rejected and wounded. Love and lots of grace is required to be part of this new move coming to the spiritual outcast. Yes, God is on the move among the tattooed and the pierced, those who are into zombies and vampires, gay and lesbian, new age people, and those of various political parties that are currently not accepted by many Christians and also are passing through whatever they got distracted by in those areas. God is moving powerfully among women and promoting many into positions of new authority. Financial ruin has been broken. 5 years ago, the U.S. and much of the world experienced a great financial downturn. One of the largest bankruptcies in U.S. history occurred in September of 2008. We will now see a five-year turnaround from that downturn. God is opening up opportunities right now for people to be repaid for any losses that had occurred, okay, during that time. Also, there are kingdom financial strategies being released from heaven that will radically turn your financial situation around if you listen and act, all for the benefit of spreading the gospel. It is important to not pay attention to negative reports or get caught up in believing we are all going down. This is a time to take action, and it is very similar to what Isaac experienced in Genesis chapter 26. During a great famine on earth, Isaac listened to God and took a different direction than what most people were doing at the time. In verse 12, Genesis 26 verse 12, Isaac planted crops in that land in the same year reaped a hundredfold because the Lord blessed him. 2014 is a year of God's mercy upon us. God is promoting people who have loved, shown mercy, and not cut down others or driven from them deeper into darkness. This is an exciting time to be alive, because if you have suffered, experienced losses, or repeated attacks of the enemy, God is repaying you right now. All you have to do is ask and respond. Walk through the golden gates being opened. For this, this is what I'm contributing to this word. This is God's justice in action. All right. So, amen. And Doug closes this prophetic letter. Here's to a year of breakthrough and turnaround. May God richly bless you with every spiritual gift you need to succeed this year. Amen. So, Lord, we just thank you, Jesus, for this prophetic word coming to being, coming, you know, and it's forever growing. It's like it's a wave, this prophetic wave coming to the people of God in 2014. And so, before we go into Calvary Pentecostal Campground New Year's Eve celebration revelation. We're gonna go into my son's eulogy, and you'll see how the hand of the Lord truly did come full circle in their life through prayer and through forgiveness to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the heart of the children. All right, God bless you. We love you. Bye bye. Shine on my life as on a meadow, like the grass to be consumed by the rays of the sun.
Between the heads.
Well, before we go into some music, okay, I just want to give a testimony in response to the prophetic word that was released to all you all 2013 regarding divine retribution, you know, how we talked about what the Lord had done and in 2013, correcting things in people's lives and redirecting them back to, you know, where he wants them back on track. It takes the form of many things. And in my life, from previous broadcasts, we know that Dr. Shirley is not a stranger to, okay, the follies of youth. And in that folly of youth, when I was young, I began my family, but not in a godly way, but at the time, I didn't have the special gift of fear of God and conviction of sin. And so while I was at school, I started a family outside of marriage, and what happened was it fell apart because both of us, I'm talking about my oldest children's father. At the time, we were not we weren't living godly lives. We were both came from extraneous family situations where both parents deserted the family, and in both cases, there was remarriage. I believe that his father was the one that remarried, and my mother in my family was the one that remarried, and somehow we were caught, you know, in that net. And in my immediate family, God was not the center of the family life like I would have wanted. I always got my rearing from my step-grandfather, which was actually my godfather. And so by the time I entered college, I had been set up just by circumstances and situations of family life to make choices that were really haphazard, and it wasn't in my complete best interest. I, for the most part, always wanted to get close to the Lord, but was always trying to do it in my own power because I didn't have a mentor and I knew no better. And I always felt like prayer was a way that maybe by chance, if I prayed, maybe things may get back on track. But I still did not trust completely in the power of prayer and in a relationship with Jesus. You know, to be the difference that makes a difference, okay? So, for what I'm trying to say is that, so, of course, as the relationship progressed outside of the Lord, it fell apart. And we went our separate ways and entered into states of holy matrimony with other spouses. Of course, I had the two children, and he did not. And so what happened was, over the years, I just kept praying, and that, you know, no matter how my, you know, no matter how things turn out later in life, that my kids, when they got older, they would be given the grace to get to know their father as adults. And I did not know that God would answer that prayer, but somewhere along the line, God was right and straight with crooked lines, because I gave him the reins. My uncle was praying for their father's salvation. And at first it started out that I had an invested interest in that, because I wanted to get things right. I wanted to correct the wrongs that I made. And somehow I thought, you know, like other people, that we were going to get back together, but God had other plans. He had someone else in mind for me, my which is my husband, Jeffrey. And so what happened was, there was an illness that had befallen the children's father a couple of years ago. And, I need to tell you, he also became a Christian when he married this other woman. So God, again, he had other plans. He had other mates in mind for each one of us. And because we surrendered, and I wanted to say to people, it's not too late to surrender, no matter what circumstance or situation you find yourself in. And when you do that and the Lord comes into your life, you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, he will correct your life, but it may not be in the same manner that you would think you would want him to move in. It would more than likely be for your best interest. And so, the Lord, through prayer, had preserved, somehow miraculously had preserved the relationships that were once, I had that, I'd fallen by the wayside, but he did it on his terms. And when my kids were in their 30s and their father was in his 50s, he did, come down with an illness, ended up in the hospital in 2011, and because he had, I guess from what I understand, he had a bacteria, a toothache, and a bacterial infection in his tooth. And somehow he did not take the full, all of his antibiotics, and so it ate through his system. And this man was the epitome of, not epitome, he was the pinnacle of health. He was a bodybuilder and a successful optometrist. So he had everything he needed, and a beautiful wife at that. And so what happened was his heart valves were eaten up, and so he had to have 7 of those replaced. And also there was a blood clot in his brain, and so they were really very concerned as, to how to repair all this at the expense of his life. But his sister had signed everything over, and they began to do surgery. They had to practically put him in a cryogenic cold state in order for them to take the heart out and do those valve replacements. And so when they were doing the valve replacements, his sister was by his bedside, and he was out in a coma, and they couldn't be sure if he was going to survive the surgery. So she gave us a call, and a little weepy, of course, naturally. And so my husband and I, we both were praying for the children's father, that that the Lord would we tie him bound with the spirit of death, and that the Lord would preserve his life and restore him so that he can make reconciliation with his children. So the heart of the father can return back to the children, the children back to the heart of their father. Like the prophetic word said in, about the divine retribution. And so so what happened was the father woke up out of the coma and requested that his that he see his children. So they flew down to Houston, Texas, to the rehab center that he was staying at. And they spent the whole week with their father. And then he was, he had amnesia because of what was going on with his brain, but he was able to remember everything about their childhood. So it was like God used that point to pick up where he left off when he left their life. And so I thought that, well, that was very good. And then, of course, the Lord had another surprise. And then he called me, and he apologized and asked for forgiveness for the times that he hurt me and things like that. So that was beginning. There was something beginning, something happening in 2011. In 2013, when this particular prophetic word came forward, God always, whenever something like this happens, leaves my lips. I seem to be the first recipient of this. That's just the Lord's sense of humor. And so what happened was he called the kids up, because by this time he became a grandfather. My oldest daughter made him a grandfather, and of a proud baby, I was proud baby, of a bouncer baby. Grandbaby, Kristen Louise. She's got the most beautiful blue eyes. So anyways, he was in the hospital a second time, but really wanted to see the kids this one last time. And when he had just got out of the hospital, and I'm thinking, as his sister's telling me, it wasn't good. I felt like he does not have too long to live. And so what happened was he was always good at keeping things to himself, and so he made us believe he was in tip-top shape. But when I saw him, because he did request to see me, I hadn't seen him in 30 years, I couldn't believe that this was the same man that, was a linebacker on Holy Cross, full of machismo and everything else. And at the pinnacle of health, but I mean, he was, he had a hard time walking. His gait was off, and even the firing of, the thoughts were in the brain, were not like it was when I knew him, when we were younger. And so I saw the dichotomy. I saw the irony of a successful a man that went from mediocre existence to success, and then back to and how disease and illness had robbed him of everything. But the only thing that was standing, it seemed, was his relationship with Jesus. And I thought, wow, isn't this the justice of God? Isn't this, it doesn't matter how much we have, and it doesn't matter, if we, gain the world and lose our soul. But what does matter in the end is, do you have a relationship with Jesus? Have you made him Lord and Savior? Because any time, any moment, God can call us home. And so, he again used this opportunity to ask for forgiveness. And we reviewed some of the past history. I didn't want to go there, but the Lord's saying it's okay. I had gotten a blessing from my husband, Jeff, to go, because he thought it would be healing. And he was right. And there were no bad feelings at all. I was so amazed. And you know, and it was like for once I was able to look at the father of my two children, and look at him, you know, with the eyes of Christ and as a human being, okay, worthy of prayer. So that's what I did. I prayed. I gave him a couple of words, and then it was time to go. But so a year from then, which is now December 16th, and we get a call. I believe it's December 15th. We get a call that their father passed away, and that was a couple of weeks before Christmas, and then they buried him after Christmas. And my son went down to represent the family because his daughter couldn't go down because the baby. So this is what my son wrote, and this is the extent of the healing that's happened, and what this, you know, in divine retribution regarding my kids, the divine justice of God working itself out in my children's life. So this is what my son had written for his father at his father's funeral, okay? This is from Jean-Pierre. Most people saw my dad as a father, a husband, a friend, and a hard-working professional. As a child, I saw a person who was strong yet sensitive, disciplined yet lighthearted. I remember visiting my father with my sister for Thanksgiving years later. We shared dinner, talked, laughed, and cried about memories we had together and apart. The smile on his face didn't reflect that of a patient in a hospital room, but that of a person with the smile and strength of many. I am sure my father has touched everyone in this room the same way he did for me and my sister. I would like to share a verse from Corinthians. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as you look not to the things that are seen but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Thank you, Dad, for being the person you are to those you love. We will continue to carry the strength you gave us. And so they were able to see how their father for a few years had weathered the storm of his illness, and I believe, you know, because his pastime was bodybuilding, he was also able to compete one last time last year after the initial hospitalization and somehow go to and still work at the office. I just thank God for how the kids, and most, unfortunately, in this day and age, Most kids, you know, when their father walks out on them or the mother walks out on them, they don't even know who they are. You know, they're not given that grace or luxury to find them. Some do, and you hear about this on Facebook or on the news or wherever God wants you to hear these wonderful stories. But for it to witness it to this extent in my life, in my children's life, is truly a gift from God. Yes, they did lose many years of relationship, but somehow God was writing straight with crooked lines all along through prayer and was able to allow reconciliation on his terms, reconciliation that somehow would be the best vehicle of healing that they would need for the given moment. So, it's just amazing what God is doing. And oh yes, and his sister, this is how far prayer travels, you know, in time. His sister on the way back from the funeral, for a couple minutes, just was sitting back resting. And closed her eyes, and she was not. She said she wasn't completely asleep. She had just, but had a quick dream or vision of their brother, the children's father, walking into heaven past these beings that looked like gods, and they had a light that surrounded them. And I guess he was wearing blue and white, and he's shaking their hands, and they were congratulating him on a job well done, and he walks right into to heaven and to this opening. And she woke up. She said it was so detailed. And I thought, you know, that's what I saw, you know, when I was, I had to write a eulogy for the funeral. I didn't go, but I was, I sent it off through the email and things like that because his sister wanted me to write a eulogy. And so, you know, it just goes to show, no matter what circumstance or situation you find yourself in, with any broken relationship, prayer is the best way to assure that God's love is knitting things together and making things right the way that he sees fit, the best way for the situation at hand. So I just want to just leave this with you and enjoy the documentary Afterlife, because you're going to hear much more of these stories from different people, from different walks of life. Okay, God bless you this New Year's 2014, and let's all stick close together in the love of God. Amen. Bye-bye. Love you.
That this is coming year is a year of multiplication. Multiplication of intercession for the entire state of Tennessee. It's a year of multiplication of intercessions in the entire state of Tennessee. And I have one scripture that I want to pray read over you in Isaiah chapter 30. O people in Zion, inhabitant in Jerusalem, you will weep no longer. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. And so we pray this, reminding God of his word concerning Jerusalem. But I know everyone's an intercessor, but if you're here specifically representing that today, would you just stand? Would you stand?
If you're representing intercessors.
Intercessors. Not a pastor, not necessarily the leader of a ministry, but, you know, I'm standing, you understand, okay? Lord, I bless these who lift a cry in our behalf and lift a cry in behalf of our city's behalf and lift a cry to the Lord in behalf of the Lord's fame in this region's behalf. O people in Zion and inhabitant of Jerusalem, you will weep no longer. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. So I bless the cry that is in the hearts today of the intercessors in every local church and every local ministry and all of the state and nationwide and international prayer ministries. I bless you that there would be the spirit of grace and supplication grow and increase within you. But I'm calling forth deep calls to deep. And I speak to the deep places within you. And I say, break open and let the supernatural cry of God and man back to God arise within you for such a time as this, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can the intercessors remain standing?
The brothers wanted to put together a proclamation so we could read over each of you. And as has already been spoken, there are many intercessors that are not here today. But we speak not only to the physical presence of what's in front of us, but we speak to realms of the Spirit that we can see not. We speak to light, we speak to intercessors, and we also speak to the darkness, to let him know that there is a massive army of intercessors. And so we pray today that this will go forth and pierce the hearts of men and women to do is what Jim has just prayed and prophesied, and that the enemy would shake in his boots. Proclamation of honor to the intercessors of Greater Nashville, Tennessee. Father, we humbly stand in prayer and proclamation today on behalf of the intercessors of Greater Nashville and Middle Tennessee area. Whereas your word says, I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, Ezekiel 22:30. Just as Abraham interceded on behalf of a city and later prayed and sought for a city with foundations whose builder and maker was God. Likewise, these intercessors in this region, O Lord, have interceded for such a city, Hebrews 11:10. Therefore, we acknowledge these intercessors, O Lord, who are called, appointed, anointed to stand before God on behalf of men. We acknowledge, Lord, their willingness to become the burden bearers for those too weak to bear, and to be a voice for those who have no voice. We acknowledge their courage to stand in the gap and make up the wall amidst great opposition, even as Nehemiah did, building with one hand and battling with the other. We acknowledge their perseverance and pioneering efforts in the midst of persecution and personal rejection. We acknowledge that our city and our region has been favored, received mercy extended, and the kingdom advanced because of their selfless intercession. We know, Father, that this great work does not go unnoticed by you. Hebrews 6:10 says, For God is not unjust to forget your work and the labor of your love which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and you do minister. We likewise recall the words of the Apostle Paul, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The body is not one member, but many. But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, according to how it pleased him, and those parts of the body which we esteem to be more void of honor, those we clothe with more abundant honor. Therefore, on this day, December the 4th, 2013, Worship City Alliance bestows abundant honor upon the intercessors of Nashville and the Middle Tennessee area, recognizing that wherever honor is given, authority is released for the glory of His kingdom. We ask for the hedge of protection to surround them and the boldness of the Holy Ghost to fill them. And we pray this apostolic prayer from Philippians chapter 1. And this we pray, that your love may still abound more and more in the knowledge and in all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Let's just, for a moment, Father, we thank you for your word.
Yes.
We now not only have spoken this word, but we send this word. We send this word to every discouraged intercessor.
Yes.
We send this word to every man, woman, boy, and girl in this region that has been called to pray for this city. May this proclamation go out. May it arrive at its destination in the nick of time. May it have much fruit. No enemy will be able to steal the seed or this word from the hearts of the intercessors in this city. Push back darkness and edify the intercessors with it, we pray today. We seal this word, O God, by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's just wait a moment. There may be that the Lord has something else he wants to say. Just be quiet for a moment. Let those words and that proclamation go deep in freedom and healing to some of you.
Let's have the people sitting just lay hands on the people standing, if we can, and there might be more standing and sitting, so you can move around and just touch and bless people.
Absolutely.
Lord, we touch and agree.
Yes, Lord.
And many of us wear the double hat, like Larry and Doris. Larry was Intercessors for America. We bless the different prayer networks, from A Glow to End Time Handmaiden,
yes, Lord,
to Reformation Prayer Network, to the Heartland Apostolic Prayer Initiative, to so many different ones, God, and my own prayer storm, and many, many, many others, and the governmental Tennessee Governmental Prayer Alliance, and Bobby Petre, and many, many others, the Acts 13 group, Lord, and every local church. We bless these this day,
yes,
in all the different networkings, whether it's in Spring Hill, God, or whether it be in Hendersonville, or whether it be on the west side in Bellevue, Bellmead, and Dixon, and etc., or whether it be on the south end in Franklin and beyond, and over to Murfreesboro. Lord, we bless the intercessors in the name of Jesus. And we declare it is a season, a new season, for gatekeepers and watchmen to walk together in a way that we haven't previously. And we declare that the culture of honor diffuses competition.
Yeah.
We declare today that this culture of honor shifts from competition to cooperation. I declare, we declare today that this simple act of honor, giving honor to whom honor is due, shifts the atmosphere from competition to divine cooperation. And we declare that every Moses on the hill needs an Aaron and a Hur lifting up their hands, and needs the next generation of Joshua and Calebs in the field. And so we call forth the joining of the foot soldiers, the joining of the watchmen, and the joining of the gatekeepers in this region for such a time as this.
I have something I'd like to share briefly. As I was anticipating this meeting this morning, praying, interceding, and a burden came on me. And I'm thinking to myself, who bears the burden of the burden bearers? I talked to Grace Swift here today, this intercessor in the Franklin House of Prayer. And this dear woman shared with me this morning, her son was tragically killed last month. He's 33 years old. And she's a burden bearer, an intercessor, who bears her burdens. And as I was praying, this burden came on me for you and for this group. And I saw a spirit lurking at the door, an intercessory door, and it was a spirit of anger. It was a spirit lurking, and I said, Lord, what is this? And as I continued to pray, I really don't have the words to articulate what I saw, but I saw pastors and leaders, and then I saw intercessors. I saw a divided house, and I saw them trying to come together. And then I began to repent on behalf of leadership and the wounding of intercessors. And I want to publicly do that today. For those of you who have been wounded in your service, in your ministry as an intercessor, whether it's a pastor or a spiritual leader, your job is so, your ministry is so unusual and so unorthodox that it's hard for professional men of the cloth sometimes to comprehend just what you do and what it is that your agenda is all about. But I stand today and I repent on behalf of hurt that has been placed upon you, specifically rejection, a dishonor, a dishonoring of the gift and the calling of God. And I ask you to release and forgive according to the Word of God, that you might be free. And I feel like this was the antidote, that it wouldn't allow this lurking spirit of anger to be at the door. Because where there is forgiveness, the enemy has no foothold. And so let's see that there is no open door. There is no open door. So I need to do this the way I feel it. I need you. You may want to respond publicly. You may want it to go away privately. But it's important that you, if there is somebody that comes to you specifically, you need to forgive them by name, to release that burden so that you might be free to do the work of the Lord. So will you forgive me in proxy, a pastor, a leader, a parachurch leader that has hurt or wounded you in the course of your intercessory work?
Yes.
Would you forgive?
Yes.
It's very important when we ask somebody to forgive us to wait on their response so that we might release that. So, Father, I thank you today that the spirit of anger will not touch these intercessors. I thank you today that they are released, that they are free. And, Lord, I repent publicly, and I ask, O God, that you forgive and that you help every pastor, every leader, that in their lack of understanding of the role of an intercessor. For in my experience, those that have been called to partner and work together is exactly where the enemy targets, to divide and conquer. So, Lord, I pray that the breaches be closed, forgiveness be released, and that intercession will actually go to another level because of the forgiveness and the love of God that covers a multitude of sins. In Jesus' name. Amen. Opportunity to look at your word and the privilege to honor these that have gone before you in prayer and intercession. Sacred ground we approach now, where holy communion takes place with heaven and earth. Refresh our hearts and renew our spirits, we pray. We exalt thee, O Lord. We exalt thee. Amen. Amen. Thank you, David. Jerry Bryan, thank you for all of your efforts here and all that he does. This man does a lot of behind the scenes. Every email you get, and setting up chairs and doing things that most people wouldn't be interested in doing, this man does. And it's a privilege to work with him and James and others on the Worship City Alliance leadership team. It's a privilege to be here today with you. It really sounds a little hollow to say that because it's the typical thing you're supposed to say, but quite frankly, intercession is something very near to my heart. I don't know that, like James mentioned earlier, that I call myself an intercessor, but I am an intercessor. When I went into the ministry almost 34 years ago, I was handed a book by a man, that pastor that I worked with in Southern California, and he said, I've got a school of theology here, but I don't want you to go. I want you to take this book. I want you to get in your room. I want you to read. And I want you to learn how to pray. And I did. And I've gone through like umpteen copies, but it was this little book called Power Through Prayer that's falling apart here today. I have passed them out. I've given them out. This was originally called Preacher in Prayer.
In the back of my
Okay. It is. And I've got your original Lost Ark of Intercession that didn't have it.
The new book.
And
I've given them out.
Let me read you one of my favorite quotes from this. So this is where my prayer intercession journey somewhat started. Ian Bound says here, what the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use, men and women of prayer, men and women mighty in prayer. The Holy Ghost does not flow through methods, but through men. He does not come on machineries, but on men. He does not anoint plans, but men of prayer. There's so much downplay of men and women today. You know, when I say man, you know what I mean by that. There's so much downplay of not making much of man, but God wants to make much of man in the place of prayer because he is the messenger. My prayer journey took me from those times in Southern California with a sweet, dear little African-American prophetic intercessor. She sang with the Hawkins family from Oakland, California. And I was mentored by this woman and went places in prayer as a young guy in the ministry that I can't even talk about. Those were my early days of birthing. They've not left me, as I'm sure it hasn't left you.
Seek the Lord, and you will find him. This is Seek, Christian Internet Radio Outreach, WSCIRO, Boston, Massachusetts.
God is doing a new thing in our midst, and I don't say that lightly. I do believe he's doing a new thing. And the intercessors are the great engine that will bring this to pass.
Sure.
You are the birthers. You are the ones that bring it to being, the manifestation. We see intercessory work primarily done often by females, by women, but obviously it knows no gender. I think women have certain rare intuitions and abilities to enter in a way that oftentimes men and egos get distracted with. But I have watched intercessory work abated. I've watched it push aside. I've watched it flourish. And I am pleased to be in a city where it is acknowledged, and we pray, but there's a lot of work to be done. It is my ultimate desire today is not to preach, but truly to honor you, the intercessors. At whatever level of intercession you may find yourself in, whether it's for a moment in a season or a time or a certain particular area, or whether you are one of those carpet-sucking 2 a.m. kind of hardcore folks, you know, whatever level God has you, you know, I welcome you and I want you to be encouraged. There are obviously many different levels and types. Just buy Jim's books and you can find out about them, from apostolic intercession to prophetic intercession to et cetera, on and on and on. But basically, generally today, I want to just honor the intercessors. I want to brush off any of the religious mess that may have tried to gunk up your gears and get you fine-tuned again with one thing, and that it is just simply honor. That's my desire, to honor you. Whomever you honor, you give authority to. And intercessors, just by virtue, for the most part of their ministry, are behind the scenes, in the middle of the night, unsung heroes that very rarely mount a pulpit or speak in a conference setting. So in a consumer religious personality driven society that we have today, there's not the honor that is bestowed upon intercessors that I think is worthy. I believe the church is moving in a great transitional place, and it has been for years, transitioning from a churchianity, a churchified mentality to a kingdom culture. And kingdom has many different references to many different people, but this is where the great intercessory burden kicks into gear in a great way for this transition to take place. Transition periods are always the most challenging. I've got three grown sons, and I remember vividly being with my wife during transition labor and all that takes place, from me becoming the bad guy, get the heck out of this room, I don't want to see you again, I'm never getting pregnant again, what in the world did you do to me? But strange things happen in transition. This is why we must be rooted and grounded and affirmed in love. I believe that with this transition from church to a kingdom, I think the value of honor is going to be the key to establishing that. There's so many things I want to talk about today. I'm pastoring a little rural church right now and trying to get prayer going. You just don't flip a switch and see this happen. You know, you're a rare breed of folks, you know. I mean, come on, this is just extraterrestrial kind of prayer. You know? Most folks don't do this. I've had the privilege of being in prayer revivals.
Tell you what.
Know about prayer revival.
Well, you haven't been in one until you're in a part of a church that's leading a prayer movement across the nation, and you get up at 5 a.m. and there are thousands of people laying in the floor praying, and it sounds like a herd of bumblebees that have just attacked the place.
Come on. I want that.
I got to lay next to an old man, Bob Wilhite, in prayer on the floor. And people are going to ask you and everybody else, how do you pray? You pray. That's how you learn how to pray. My biggest problem is I don't know how to pray quietly. That's my great contemplative prayer. I just haven't found a lot of grace for. Maybe I've just been in war all my days. But we each have our assignment. We each have our posts. We each have things that we do. I like to go up to high places and speak and prophesy and pray. But laying on the floor where thousands of people are praying, literally thousands, at 5 a.m. in the morning, the church I was on staff with, you could not be on staff unless you had prayed 1 year in the prayer room. So prayer is a discipline, and you discipline your soul. And prior to all of that, I was the pastor of prayer in a mega church in California where I had to lead prayer every morning at 5, and I'd lead hundreds of people. And my greatest revelation was in the shower, just saying, oh God, another word, please, just give me another word, you know. And then I'd get a word, and then we would go. But you train your spirit, man. Yeah. And the Holy Ghost says right now, some of you are out of you're out of calibration in your prayer life, and the Lord wants to recalibrate you once again back into prayer. Recalibrate you back into those levels of intercession. So many things I want to talk to you about, but I want to honor you today. And I want to talk a little bit about honor. Prayer warriors and intercessors sometimes can just be weird people. I was in 1985. I was the pastor of prayer in a little church, in a big, it was a mega church. But and I don't like referencing those things. But
it's okay.
Jim does stupid things to me when I begin to talk. But a little Scandinavian lady came up to me and with her Scandinavian brogue, and everybody was shunning her. And they didn't know what to do with it. This was more of a higher church, Pentecostal higher church. And so I would just take the thugs into the back room and we would pray. And I guess this is where one of my burdens really began, because this little lady came to me in tears and she says, all I want to do is pray. Why won't they let me pray? And she poured, I can still see her face right now. And I took her in and we began to disciple in prayer. And for years after I left California, she would write me letters and cards and thank me. I think some of my burden just for intercessors began way back then, because they were so misunderstood. Mm-hmm. And the lack of honor. Now, that was way back then. Today, it's quite a bit different today. But back then. If we're going to transition from a churchianity to a kingdom culture, there's one great thing that makes that happen. And that those are values, belief systems, but honor is the value that's going to allow us to establish a kingdom culture today. And honor is something that is misused and something that's misunderstood oftentimes. But what I have learned is when there is honor given to a group, a man, a woman, it releases authority.
True.
Dishonor does the opposite thing. Honor in the Greek and honor in the Hebrew, you look at the word kabed and you look at the word kabod, and it all talks about weight, and it talks about simultaneous with glory. But it's a weighty thing when you honor.
Amen.
And when you give honor to someone, there is a weight and a listening that you recognize that there is weight on their life. And today I recognize the weight, and I honor you for your work's sake, for your ministry's sake. The value of honor will help transition us into a place of a kingdom expansion like nothing else will. But honor is something that we need to look at, and we need to explore, and we need to become comfortable with it enough that we can not only receive honor, but we can give honor. The scripture tells us that we are to honor one another more important than ourselves. Honor has
many synonyms. It's a reverence, deference to somebody. I defer to you. Honesty. We honor the poor. We honor our neighbor. You honor your mother and your father. You honor the Lord with your tithes and your offering. You're saying, I give weight to this. I give honor to this. And both of those words, kabod and kabed, are interchangeably used in there. If you don't recognize the honor that's given on your life, there will creep in a dishonor and a dismay in your gift and in your anointing. And you will not handle your anointing in the way that you need and that we need you to. So I want you to soak this up today beyond my words. And I pray that there's a voice within my voice that will speak to an ear within the ear of your spirit that will draw honor, and dishonor will dissipate and leave. Well, you know, even though you're not speaking before a crowd and you may be by yourself, you may be on your knees.
Yeah.
I've got a pastor friend in another state that his wife chides him every time he gets up to pray. She mocks him. For 30 years he's been getting up to praying and she mocks him, and he's a tremendous intercessor. I trained him and helped him along his way, but his wife to this day will still mock him. Just a religious spirit. Causing us to minimize what God has truly given us. When honor is placed and authority is released, the kingdom is advanced and apostolic rule and reign begins to be established. You can pray in a mindset or a dishonoring set of attitude and have minimal results as an intercessor. Or you can approach the throne of grace with boldness and confidence after you've been persecuted, after you have been rejected, after you have been ridiculed and mocked. Oh, what did you see in prayer today? Another angel? Another spirit? These are mocking, lying voices that come, which drive us away from accountability. From accountability and from partnering together. Do you know how many pastors, leaders need what you have today? Do you know how many of them are wounded by people who have been rejected and their gifts were not accepted? Or there's some type of coup attempt that happened in their church? And then these false blanket accusations of Jezebel, when basically we all need to be partnering and accountable together. I had a wonderful privilege of pastoring my intercessors for years here in Nashville. I would meet with them every Saturday night. And we had a corporate prayer meeting, and we would all pray corporately, and I would dismiss the congregation, and then I would just bring my intercessors around. And each one of them had a specific assignment from the Lord. They knew. One prayed for my family and my children. One had a burden for that. One had a burden for the finances, and on and on. And then I would share what was on my heart as pastor. And what I felt God was speaking to me, I would submit it to them. Are you hearing anything like this in prayer? Get the response. Sometimes it was prophetic to the point they go, no, we don't hear it, but we witness to it, pastor, and we're with you. There'd be other times not. Then after I would share, I would sit and I would listen. I'd say, okay, now y'all speak to me. And then, well, when I was praying for your children, one of your children, da-da-da-da-da, or pastor, how's your marriage? Or this, or... And we would go, and then we would join together, and we would pray. I covered them, they covered me, and there was an accountability factor. It's very difficult for the enemy to get in. Very difficult for dishonor, Jezebel, Korah, Absalom, yeah, all the rest of them, you know. We love to do all this name calling, but if we do our preventive work up front, relationally, do the work up front relationally. Sit down and talk about the hard things. And I want to tell you, you scare the bejabbers out of pastors when you say what you've seen in the heavenlies. It scares them.
They, most of them aren't wired that way, and they don't see into the heavenlies.
That's all right.
So you have to actually mentor them and help them, bring them along. So just because they go, well, I don't see it, I don't get any of that, I don't get a witness to that, and then you go, oh, well, I guess I, and then you faint. You have other people accountable with you. You walk the pastor through, you help him, you meet, you talk. You say, well, give them materials, talk and pray for them, and allow relationships to be established as much as possible. And then walk it through and know if you're called to somebody or a ministry. Know that in your heart so that God can't, so that the enemy can't separate what God's assignment is for you. There are pastors that are, they're failing in the pulpit. They're just pulling off sermons just to try to make it happen because there's no intercessory work. There's no conviction. Another great line that Ian Bound said, one of my favorites. Get this. He says, truth that is unquickened by God's Spirit deadens as much or more than error does. So we have men preaching truth that is unquickened. There has been no intercessory prayer on it. There's been no saturation of the Holy Ghost there. So it's truth, but it doesn't land. It doesn't break the yoke. It doesn't illuminate the heart. It doesn't encourage the spirit. It doesn't edify. So we need truth that's quickened. And then you know all the stories from church history and praying in the basement. You know who Father Nash is, related to Spurgeon, would go before him and go before him and pray days ahead. And when he died, when Father Nash died, he shut his ministry down. And he shut his ministry down and just went to teaching. Because he didn't have an intercessor. You need tag intercessors. Right, Larry? I mean, seriously. Otherwise, it's going to revert back to a personality-driven situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
We need tag intercessors. So, time's up. I just want to encourage you to continue to do what you're doing. Find people you can be accountable with. Find a pastor that you can talk to. Start praying for them. Don't go in with your heavy-duty revelations. And don't be rejected when they speak out of their wounds. Pastors are some of the most wounded, insecure people that there are on the planet. You have no idea of what they lay their head down on the pillow at night. What you do for intercessors. What they feel. What they sense. They don't know who to trust.
Yeah.
I've raised up and restored close to half a dozen men through the years of ministry, and every one of them go and start another church, taking your staff and your deal, and you know, and we're going. So this is what happens to pastors. So they don't know who to trust. Make yourself trustworthy. Say, Lord, clothe me in trust. Here's what I say. Here's what I teach my men. We have a 3-point thing. When I teach my men, time builds trust, and trust builds togetherness. So you spend enough time, you can build trust. And you spend enough trust, then you have togetherness. And then two together can do great things. Can powerful things. Powerful things. Especially with the artillery that's in this room. I'm trying to hit all levels of you here. Some of you are seasoned vets, and you've seen it all. Some of you are coming in and still struggling with elements of the intercessory work. But I encourage you today, the work you are doing is good and God notices it. The church needs you. Pastors need you, whether they admit it or not. And there will be a time that you may have to leave if your ministry is not received. But only allow God to give you that word to be able to do that.
Yeah.
You could be a restraining force against hell just by being there. And you may not have his ear, you may not be on the inner circle,
But you may be pushing darkness back every time you walk in the door. Walk through the chairs and don't just, oh my God, you talk. Just begin to pray. Just begin to pray through the chairs and walk by his office and just, you know, anoint him. And just be, like James says, Jehovah sneaky. You know? Just pray. You don't have to have a platform.
That's right. Amen.
If you do, you probably will compromise your anointing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're through. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, I honor these intercessors today, and I thank you for the weight that they carry, the weight that's in this room, the weight that is creating an atmosphere that creates an environment that creates a culture. Let there be a culture of intercessory work established in this city. We know you love cities, Lord. We're the ones as pastors who have tried to be concerned with our own little territory. Oh God, forgive pastors in this city for being consumed with only their deal. Oh God, make us one church in many congregations. Lord, I break the fear off of pastors in this city today, the deception regarding intercessors. God, I know that there have been error in places of intercession. I do know that Absalom, Corah, Jezebel have sought to undermine. But God, we redeem back now in the name of Jesus the great intercessory seed that has been planted in this city.
Yes.
Not only in this room today, but beyond this room.
Yes.
The mighty men and women who pray, who seek, who lay on their face,
yes,
that nobody next to heaven will ever know.
Yes.
They pull down strongholds. They push back darkness.
Yes.
They release favor.
Yes.
They've obtained mercy. All because they were willing to pray. Because they were willing to stand between what God wants and where man is. They were willing to stand between heaven and hell and bridge the gap. Oh God, I honor these intercessors today and I thank you for them. And I ask that you wash off all dishonor, all feeling and fear of rejection. Take authority over this spirit of fear, each of us in our own individual lives. It does not matter who we are. The spirit of fear comes, but the perfect love of God drives out all fear. Father, saturate these dear ones in your love. Saturate them in your love, that their intercessory work would come as an incense that would be fresh out of a place of love of the bride and the groom. Let it come from the loins, O God. Let it come as a sweet sound. Come on, intercessors. Oh, we do not know how to pray as we ought to pray. Spirit of the living God, pray through us. I pray for the resurrection of the dead in this city. Physically, I pray for churches. There will be some that will be sent to dead churches right now on assignment, and you will breathe life. I thank you that you love this city, Lord.
Thank you.
And you love these intercessors who pray for this city. And whomever we honor, we give authority to. And we today honor this group. And we release, Father, them to be all that you've called them to be. Unencumbered, without any hindrance. Let the intercessors rise. Let the intercessors rise. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. Because we are welcoming in the King of Glory. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. He is the King of Glory. King of Glory, come. Your intercessors summon you now. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Whee! caught up with him in the air. That yet in Christ you'll rise first to meet Jesus in the air. Don't you gotta